meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Welcome, listeners. This is Loretta Frelick and Mary Fiorito with the privilege of sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the new EWTN Catholic Radio voice for Chicago, WFSI Chicago Radio on AM 750. How you doing, Mayor?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm fabulous. Had a great weekend.
Good.
How about you?
Good. Oh, very busy weekend, but a good one.
Well, that's wonderful. And again, Mary, we just want to say how sorry we are about your beautiful sister, Fiona Wheeler. And we're so sorry that you lost her, but we all know she gazes on the face of God, and that is our ultimate destination. Amen?
Well, amen, and thank you for your prayers. As my mother always used to say, I don't know what people without faith do at a time like this when they lose a loved one, you know, especially on the younger side and tragically. So your prayers have been supporting me, and the prayers of the listeners have been, you know, I'm sure that's why we were able to give my sister the beautiful funeral mass that we did.
And it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
And just
thank you.
Everything about it, Mary. Everything about it was lovely. And we send our prayers too to her three beautiful children,
yes,
Jack, Juliet, and Lizzie. And we are very sorry for the loss of your mother when you are so young. We know how important mothers are.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's good of you to remember. And you know, sometimes right after the funeral is over, understandably, people's lives go on, but, you know, the family is sort of left in a daze. And
sure.
So it's really wonderful when your loved one is continued to be remembered.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we also want to wish a blessed new year to our Jewish brothers and sisters.
That's right.
It is the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. And it's the start of the new year and the beginning of the Days of Awe, which are 10 days when our Jewish brothers and sisters reflect on their lives, and they believe that the books of heaven are open and God is surveying your life as you step into the new year, and you have this opportunity to reflect and repent. And it's kind of a great holiday.
Yeah, it's the holiest time of year for the Jewish people, as I understand it. And, I wish them many blessings. We have many Jewish friends in our community, and I just hope it's a very happy day of, being with family and prayer and every other thing that is important to them as a community.
Right, that fasting, prayer, and repentance as they spend the next 10 days reflecting on their lives before God, and they really want to get the sin out, and they want to get closer to God, and who can't use
right.
a feast day like that?
Right, and it's also family-oriented, you know,
yes.
which I just love about that, that it's really so focused on being together as a family and a community, and, you know, we're starting to lose that as a society in some respects.
Right. You know, I was, over the weekend, I had such an incredible time at the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre
of
Jerusalem.
But wait, don't just jump over that. You received a recognition, did you not?
Well,
a promotion of some sort?
I was promoted to a Dame Commander. Don't you love the title?
But, that's marvelous. I love that.
But what I wanted...
What does that mean, that you're a Dame Commander now?
Do
I have to curtsy when I see you?
Yes, please. And
yes. Okay.
Unfortunately, it does not come with crown jewels like Elizabeth.
Okay, does it come with a house? Do you get anything out of
this? You know,
what happens? Okay.
Really, all it is they just recognize, you know, the purpose of the order is to maintain a Christian presence in the Holy Land. So we support organizations that are helping do those things. So like Bethlehem University, Muslims and Christians go to school together, and they promote the unity of that. And also, you know, your own personal holiness. So, you know, they're looking for you to be, you know, active, doing things for the order and also in your parish. And it was really lovely when they gave me the opportunity. And you got a very lovely Bishop Listecki. Is he an archbishop or a bishop?
He's an archbishop. He's the Archbishop of Milwaukee.
That's right. Archbishop Listecki of Milwaukee presented us from the order with these lovely Jerusalem crosses, you know, that represent the five wounds of Jesus. And so it was really quite lovely. But to your point, we have a wonderful former lieutenant. That's what they call the head of each section. And the United States is divided into sections. And our lieutenant, our outgoing lieutenant, Max Brown, and his wife, Marianne, you know, to the point of family, this was an important event for them because this was, you know, Max did 2 terms, 4 years each.
Okay.
But he invited, I was really so honored. He invited his family, and he and his wife included me at their table at dinner last night. Yes. And so all of his grandchildren and his son and daughter-in-law. And so what you're saying about, you know, that Rosh Hashanah celebrates family as well, this was an opportunity in which Max and his wife included his family in their celebration. So it was a lovely event.
Oh, it sounds that way. Oh, it sounds fantastic. And
yes.
Just anytime you're together with people of, you know, like-minded people of faith, mm-hmm. it really is, it's a different feeling than being at any other kind of social event, isn't it?
You know, you're so right. It was so fun to be with people who place God first.
Right.
You know, and it's so reflected in the way everyone treats each other with respect. And, you know, I had an opportunity to meet Joan Lewis from EWTN Radio.
She is what a wealth. And you may not know this, but you two went to the same high school. Did you know that?
We also went to the same college.
Very interesting. Oh, she was at St. Mary's, though, right? And I know Lewis Towers at Loyola is named for her family.
Mm-hmm.
Is she in Chicago for, was she just coming in for this dinner, or does she?
I think she was in just for the weekend event. The weekend event had a lot of very interesting people. A former guest on our show, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, who gave a lovely talk on holiness on one of our shows. He is part of our order, and he was there. And really just a lovely gentleman.
He's a very impressive person. He is. Yeah, very good, kind man.
Yes. And Dr. Scott Hahn and his wife, Kimberly, they were both there, and they both gave talks to our order. And really, it was so funny because, you know, I remember going to see Scott Hahn in church basements. Now he's super big.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? God has really just elevated him incredibly. I
blessed
mean,
him.
All very much deserved, very
yes.
much deserved.
And, you know, blessed him for his stepping out in faith. I mean, when
right.
he left, can you imagine being, that's what you do. You're a pastor of a congregation.
Right.
When he left that, he couldn't be that anymore.
Right.
And so he gave up everything for the Catholic faith. And look at all that the Lord rewarded him with.
Yeah. And, you know his conversion talk is, his is very compelling. I'm not taking anything away from it. But I have always been more moved by his wife Kimberly's conversion story. And, you know, she is the daughter of a very prominent Protestant evangelical pastor in Cincinnati.
Right.
A very, very well-known man. In fact, so well-known and so well-regarded among Protestants that he and Cardinal Bernardine worked together on an anti-pornography project back back in the day when, you know, there wasn't a lot of collaboration between Protestants and Catholics. And she came from this very staunch Protestant background, but her father was a good, you know, very good man mm-hmm. who, you know, just really wanted to, on things that, you know, meant a lot to both communities, including the pro-life issue, including, you know, she received a Master's of Divinity from Gordon Conwell, which is the big Protestant Presbyterian seminary. And she said, and I have had the opportunity to speak to her personally. We were seated together at an event one time, and she said, you know, I would never have dated a Catholic. And now, she said, I wouldn't. She said, my parents wouldn't have permitted it. I would have been, you know.
Right.
She said, and now I was married to one.
Right.
And she said, you know, I was, at one point, she packed up her bags and left the house. And she said, I got about a block away. And she said, I know, like, the one thing I knew is that God hates divorce. And the divorce is not from God. So I turned around and I went back. And then just very gradually, she began to do a study on the church's teaching on contraception. Mm-hmm. Because she was finding some contradictory, beliefs is the best way to put it. She began to do a really in-depth, the Protestants would call this a deep scriptural dive into contraception. And she said, I came out thinking, wait a second, the Catholic Church got something right. Like, and so she said, you know, Scott and I, we changed our practice. And they had been contracepting, which, of course, you know, she said, as a Protestant, you go in for marriage training, and it's not whether or not you're going to use contraception. It's like, what kind are you going to use? And so it's very, very interesting to see that it was actually one of the church's most difficult teachings that was the one that brought her into the Catholic faith.
Right. And, you know, she has even said that that's what she aspired to be, was a pastor's wife. So,
right.
You know, how, like,
right.
You
like
and
her
I...
Mom.
Right.
Like
so,
her mom, right?
You know,
and
how you and I always...
She's an elected official now, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she is. She's a town, Steubenville. She is she's a board member on the city council.
Yeah, like a town councilman.
Yeah,
yeah,
she's
right,
the at-large. And she gave a beautiful talk, and really, you know, you mentioned about her... she talked about suffering, and it was so beautiful, and, you know, the old concept of uniting our suffering to Christ, and, you know, remembering, gosh, how many times did our moms tell us that one? But what was so beautiful about Kimberly is you can feel her mother's heart when she speaks, and,
yeah.
You know, Scott gave an excellent talk, and really the topic was quite thrilling. It was it's his favorite passage from Scripture. It's the road to Emmaus. And what do you suppose Jesus talked to Cleophas and his friend as they were walking along the road when he revealed the Scriptures to them? And he, it's going to be the subject of his next book, he says. He's writing it now. But it was so incredible. So, we had that marvelous time where we were talking together and we were, just listening to the two of them, they back to back. And really, I know Scott is the brains alleged of the operation, but let me tell you what that beautiful heart Kimberly has.
Oh, yeah.
I think she is.
And her, you know, I don't want to say she had less more to lose, because obviously he gave up a pastorship. He gave up his income. He gave up, you know, everything that he had known and worked for his professional life, he gave up. So he certainly made a huge sacrifice. But, you know, again, it was a decision he made freely. And
yes.
Here she, as she said, you know, here I was now married to a Catholic. I knew I couldn't leave him because God hates divorce, but she said the first time she went to adoration, because she attempted to support him
mm-hmm.
In some of the liturgical things he was doing, and she said, I just remember thinking, if this is not actually Jesus, then these people are engaged in gross idolatry. I mean, she was so horrified at Eucharistic adoration. So you just, I guess just maybe being a mom myself and a wife myself, I just have a real affinity for her particular conversion story.
Yes, and The gift of her conversion is she has given a young man to the priesthood, Father Jeremiah.
Oh, that's right. For someone to pay.
She has two sons that are considering the priesthood.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
So God bless everybody at the Order. God bless Max and Mary Ann Brown for doing such a great job with the lieutenancy. God bless the witness of every member of our Order's lives, particularly Kimberly and Scott Hans. And when we come back from our first break, we're going to talk about all the upcoming things that are happening in the pro-life world in Chicago and events that we will be joining. This is Loretta Fralick with Mary Fiorito on Winds of Change, AM 750.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 1st at 9 a.m. at the Outdoor Cross at St. Stanislaus Kostka for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. Let us thank God for the companionship our animals bring to our lives. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 1st at 9 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka. And the goldfish are welcome too.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
The life of a Christian on earth is a struggle, a fight. We are threatened by various dangers. St. Michael is the breath of the Holy Spirit who will defeat the Antichrist and all evil spirits. Tell everyone that I grant all graces, that I have great power as the one who stands before God. Here, one comes to seek answers to the question of the meaning of our life. It is worth knowing that on this path, we have a discreet companion. In movie theaters, September 29th only.
Visit fathomevents.com for showing locations and tickets.
You know, Mayor, before we talk about all those pro-life events that are coming up, how about that St. Michael movie? Isn't that exciting?
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be not just a national release, but an international release of this film. Lord, I know that you have a lot of great knowledge about the angels, but could you explain to our listeners who specifically St. Michael is and why he is so important?
Well, you know, St. Michael, as you heard in the recent promo, you know, he stands before God.
Yeah.
St. Michael, he is the head of the heavenly hosts. He's in charge. He is the archangel that defeated Lucifer. You know, Lucifer, when he rebelled against God and he wanted to be God, he met up with St. Michael. St. Michael wasn't having any of it, and on God's command, St. Michael cast Lucifer out of the heavens into the earth. And he is the patron saint of police officers and law enforcement.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought St. Jude was the patron saint of police officers.
No, St. Michael.
Oh, it's St. Michael. Okay.
In fact, you know, it's funny how, you know, this is the big problem I have right now. And it's a good problem to have. I have my little confirmandes. They all have to choose a saint. And I chose, when I was back in eighth grade, I chose St. Michael the Archangel. It was very unusual for a girl to choose a boy saint.
That's very common now, but back in the day,
it was
a trailblazer.
Oh, yeah, that's me, a trailblazer.
Yep.
Maybe a little more rebellious then. But anyway. But St. Michael, the Archangel, is my patron saint. And then would you look at where I end up? I end up in the state's attorney's office, considered law enforcement.
Right.
And I cannot tell you how many times I invoked the prayers of St. Michael in my work and, you know, prayed intercessory prayers to him. But, you know, I even, when I would have to talk to defendants, I remember coming out of a interview with a defendant, and one of the things that I kept telling them, that the truth will set you free. Just tell us what you've done and we'll move on. And it was even the officers had written that on the whiteboard. The truth will set you free. And we know that that's also true. But St. Michael, you know, he is the guy you want when you're walking down a dark alley, be it literally or figuratively, because he will rout the demons from your life, the ones that are assailing you, if you only ask him.
Yeah, yes. Interesting.
And I'm telling you, he is, oh gosh, I just think he's my favorite saint. But
yeah.
So,
well, he's very powerful. And,
very.
You know, it used to be back in the old days that we would say this prayer to St. Michael after every Mass.
And isn't that, you know how it got started?
No, tell me.
Well,
was that during the war?
Yes, when they got St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the divine power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander the earth seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen. Well, this is this movie that's coming out. It's really interesting because it was made in Poland, so I believe it has English subtitles. Mm-hmm. It was made in Poland, but there's two, the two producers for the United States are both from the Chicago area, Oscar Delgado, who is known to a lot of our listeners.
Yes.
And Carrie Westberg, who has been friends with Oscar since they were in grade school. And Carrie's family actually own a number of roller rinks in the southwest suburbs of Chicago. I didn't know roller rinks still existed.
Oh, yes, and they are quite popular.
Yeah, they're really making a comeback. Anyway, Carrie's family owns a couple of them, but he and Oscar were the producers for the American version of this film. So it looks like it's only going to be in the United States on Thursday, which is the Feast of St. Michael, and also St. Raphael and St. Gabriel, the other two archangels. And so it's kind of part documentary about St. Michael, because St. Michael really has been revered throughout history. I mean, Mont Saint-Michel, right, in Normandy.
Right. Yes,
St. Michael. If we started listing all the places named for St. Michael, we'd never finish the show here. But
no, we would not.
So he has, but I mean, I think it's always very interesting, you know, especially when Protestants challenge us on this thing. If you look through the arc of history, the way in which saints have always been invoked and revered by people, and Our Lady has always been invoked and revered. This was like nothing new, right? This has been part of the church since the church became the church, right? So,
right.
It's not unusual that we would have, of course, devotion to the archangels. It's interesting because the Protestants, of course, are sola scriptura, scripture only, scripture
right.
alone. Although the Bible, there's nothing in Scripture that says Scripture alone.
Right.
But St. Michael is you know, you are the better Scripture scholar than I am, Loretta, but
hardly.
St. Michael is invoked in Scripture, correct?
Yes.
Tell me again, which book?
Well, it's in Daniel, when
Daniel right.
called for, I did not bring my Bible today, but when
okay.
Daniel called and the angel shows up, Daniel... he was delayed. The angel tells him, "I was delayed because I was fighting battles in the heavenlies," and so yes. So you know he is. The devil trembles. You know he is known.
And you know this is interesting. But I heard a really good interview with a Polish priest who's been part of the production of this movie. He was on. Our friends over at Relevant Radio had mm-hmm. him on, and he talked about how the Archangel Michael is in a different class of angels than Lucifer was. Lucifer's actually in a much higher class of angels. So the fact that someone who is quote unquote only an archangel
mm-hmm.
Is, but yet still has such authority and power against Satan. Is really, it's a very interesting thing, you know,
right.
because the angels are in ranks, right? And his
yes.
ranks are lower, but that, the Lord allowed him, I think it's in Jude, to contend with the devil.
Yes.
And the Lord and, you know, was able to use Michael. And then also in Daniel, as you mentioned, right? I Googled, just in case you don't think. I Googled so you don't have to, Loretta. In Revelation, now that's the one reference I always remember is in Revelation. Now, war arose in heaven, and Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon.
Right.
And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated.
Right.
So Michael, again, who was only an archangel, down several ranks, Michael defeated them, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven.
Right.
And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him.
Praise God.
So, yeah, so I, you know, so given that he is mentioned in the book of Jude, in Daniel, in Thessalonians, there's a reference, and in Revelation, that he wouldn't be more regularly invoked by Protestants.
Well, I know that the devotion to St. Michael is ancient. He is the patron saint of, he's the protector of the Jewish people and the defender of the Catholic Church. And his name in Hebrew means who is like God.
Mm-hmm.
And he is also the patron of the dying. So when you are dying, you call on St. Michael's intercession, and he will guide you safely home.
Yep, that's marvelous.
Yes, it is.
And so everyone, if you just go to stmichaelmovie.com, and saint is all spelled out, you can find out where you can get tickets in your area. But it's going to be a great film, and unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be around much after Thursday, so please do take advantage of it. And to see it if you have the opportunity to go out.
Yes, and you know, even if you don't have the opportunity to go, just Google the St. Michael prayer and say it every day for the protection of your family and our church.
Yes, absolutely, I agree with you. Since we are mentioning St. Michael, to mention just briefly the other archangels that we'll honor on Thursday, St. Raphael, who is known for his intercession for healing. And if you've never read the Book of Tobit, it's one of my favorite, if not my favorite book in the Bible, because it's very easy to read. It reads like a really interesting story almost.
It is. It's a great story.
It's terrific about, you know, how. And there's a lot of beautiful things in there about marriage, too, and about looking for a spouse. So in addition to healing, St. Raphael is also invoked. In fact, there's a movie in St. Raphael for those who are looking for good husbands or wives. And that's something that really should be the focus of prayer for anyone.
Yes.
Prayer should be an absolute part of any kind of big life decision like that, right? But St. Raphael is really just a terrific advocate in that regard. So, and then, of course, everyone knows the Archangel Gabriel, who was the messenger to Our Lady. I mean, it's interesting that, you know, God himself didn't appear to Mary and ask her. He sent an angel to do it for him. And I think that should, if nothing else, that should show us the trust that God the Father places in his angels.
Amen. And
so,
when you think about it, the beauty of the message that Mary received from the angel, and, you know, the difference between, you know, Zechariah was like, oh, come on, is this really going to happen? Which resulted in his muteness for a couple of months, 9 to be exact. But, you know, Mary is like, well, how can this happen? So she's not challenging the angel. She's trying to get her head around it in her yes. And so it's always good to read that story again, you know, when you are saying yes to God, because Mary does it so beautifully.
Yep. No one does anything more beautifully than Our Lady does. Isn't that the truth?
That is true. That is. Mary is always our example. And we are blessed that she is so much a part of our faith and our everyday lives.
Yeah, absolutely. We are so lucky. Aren't we just so fortunate as Catholics?
Yes.
I mean, we really are. It's you know, it's just such a great gift to be Catholic. I'm so grateful that God, you know, gave me from birth the gift of my faith.
Yes. And, you know, I think of all the times that, you know, I can remember as a little girl, you know, my mother saying to me, go and get my rosary. And
yeah,
we were always forever going to get her rosary. And,
yeah,
you know, the beauty of it is, you know, St. Padre Pio, you know, when he had a battle to fight, he called for his, priests that are were he lived with. Where's my weapon?
So, yeah,
you know,
right,
let's not lose sight that we have forces in our hands that make us more powerful than the enemy, and the enemy cringes when we get our weapon. And the enemy cringes at the thought of Blessed Mother and Saint Michael coming to our defense.
So, yeah, no, the rosary is one of the greatest gifts that the church has, and again, we're so fortunate as Catholics to have it. And, you know, as you're saying about your mother, I have a priest friend. You knew Father Michael Kite.
Yes. Oh, I love
the Dominican.
Father Michael
and
Kite.
Yeah, his mother died when he was quite young. He was maybe 9 or 10. And she was being taken to the hospital, as it happens for the last time. And as the ambulance, as they were coming in to get her, you know, to take her to the hospital, she turned to him and she said, "Michael, please get me my rosary."
Oh.
And those were the last words his mom ever spoke to him. And she died if I remember correctly, not long after she got to the hospital. So, so it's really, it's again, you know, we could just go on and on.
I know with our great saint stories.
Anyway, so at any rate.
And both Father Michael Kite and his mother are marvelous saints for our day.
Yeah. They are. Do we need to go to our next break?
You know, I think that's a great idea.
This is
Loretta Freilich and Mary Fiorito filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
The life of a Christian on earth is a struggle, a fight. We are threatened by various dangers. Saint Michael is the breath of the Holy Spirit who will defeat the Antichrist and all evil spirits. Tell everyone that I grant all graces, that I have great power as the one who stands before God. Here, one comes to seek answers to the question of the meaning of our life. It is worth knowing that on this path, we have a discreet companion. In movie theaters, September 29th only.
Visit fathomevents.com for showing locations and tickets.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Academy, and you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Can you help St. Stanislaus Kostka Church? The church was constructed over 150 years ago, and despite its age, has maintained its sacred and timeless beauty. There is a realization that our shared spaces need to be upgraded with items such as a wheelchair lift for the lower church, new men and women's bathrooms, and the creation of space for meetings and hospitality, as well as more accessible wheelchair access. Visit ststandschurch.org, ststandschurch.org, for complete details on the renovation and what you can do to help.
Welcome back. This is Loretta Freilich and Mary Fiorito filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And Mary, you've got a real nice opportunity to be a blessing to Aid for Women this Wednesday.
Right. So this, listeners, if you're not familiar with the local pregnancy centers in the Chicagoland area, Aid for Women, which is a center that both Loretta and I have had the privilege of serving on the board of directors. Aid for Women has two maternity homes where women can live free of charge up to 3 years after they've had their child and are provided with parenting
help and classes and education and all sorts of other wonderful things to help them, to empower them to create independent and good lives. And 8 for Women's been around since 1978, so not long after Roe versus Wade came down. They provide, again, not only our wonderful maternity homes, but their support groups. And you know,
started by a deacon, too, right?
A deacon, right? The late Deacon Tom Bressler and his wife, Heather. They, you know, they offer free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds and help, you know, if women don't have medical care or, you know, a doctor, or they've never been to a doctor. Some of, believe it or not, you know, there's a lot of women in our communities who don't access prenatal care until very late in their pregnancies. But Aid for Women helps connect pregnant women with all sorts of different support. And so there are, there's of course, but there's always ongoing, you know, benefit dinners and that sort of thing. But the one big dinner, the one big fundraiser for the year for Aid for Women, which really provides the bulk of the resources that the organization needs to continue to serve moms and babies, is coming up this Wednesday. So this Wednesday is the 27th? No,
28th.
Wednesday the 28th, sorry. And it's the annual dinner. It's always a lovely event. I mean, this is, you know, I go up to a lot of these sorts of things, and it is one of the nicest, just most uplifting, wonderful event. I mean, first of all, it's at the Union League Club of Chicago. And so, you know, you can't find, there's many lovely venues in Chicago, but this is a particularly wonderful one. And it's held there, which is a private club. So yes. Unless you know someone who's a member there, you know, average people just can't go walk in and have dinner at the Union League Club.
Right.
So it's in downtown Chicago. It's in a lovely location.
And the artwork is exquisite.
Oh, spectacular. I mean, it's like being in a museum. And
it is. It's like being in a museum. The paintings are of that caliber.
And so at any rate, you know, this dinner happens, you know, once a year, and it's Raymond Arroyo is going to be the keynote speaker.
Yes.
And he's the biographer of Mother Angelica. He's a well-known Catholic commentator. He is often on, he hosts The World Over.
Yes.
Which is kind of the news show of EWTN. But he's also frequently a guest on Fox News.
Right. And, you know, Mary, I heard him at a dinner, and, you know, I was so discouraged. I've told you this so many times, but I want to share this with our listeners. I was so discouraged when a president was elected with 100% NAREL, National Abortion Rights approval rating. I mean, and it's unheard of. I mean, just the thought of it, I was depressed. I'll be honest with you. I did not trust.
Yeah.
I was not trusting in the Lord in those days after the election. And I went to a dinner, and I think it was Joe Scheidler had him as a guest. Raymond Arroyo was so joyful, so upbeat, so positive and life-giving. You know, he's really a man who his faith permeates whom he is. And I'm telling you, the Lord sent him to me because I left that dinner with a new hope. And so,
really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yes.
What was it about his message that was so moving for you?
That this is not the end. The
okay.
end, this is not the end of the story. And he used funny little vignettes. You know, he studied to be an actor. And he went to acting school with, I don't know, somebody who was, like, renowned for being just, like, tough on all the students. And he gained so much from working with her, and it reminded him of our times. Like, it's never going to be this bad. Don't worry.
Yeah.
God's in charge.
Right.
You know, and sometimes when you're the one giving that message to everyone else, sometimes you just need to hear it. And I'll tell you, I can't wait to hear his message because I know it's going to be even more upbeat as we celebrate the overturning of Roe v. Wade and we look to our next challenges.
Yeah.
And you know, we're going to talk about them after, you know, in our last segment, you and I, but he really is worth listening to.
Well, so if listeners, if you want to go there, I believe there are still tickets available. So it's been, things have moved along briskly for this dinner. There's a lot of interest, especially this year, because so many pregnancy centers have been firebombed or vandalized or had their windows broken or their workers have been threatened. So if there's ever been a time to step up and really help pregnancy centers, it is now, because so many of them have now had to divert funding to, you know, to having security guards. And, because, you know, they're worried for their workers and for their clients. And, you know, I mean, there's moms and little children living in our maternity homes. And it's very sad. There's a group called Jane's Revenge and another group called Ruth Center, who have been, again, one center on the East Coast was firebombed. They've been, you know, all their windows broken. Pregnancy center workers attacked. So it's really been a difficult time. And so you just go to helpaidforwomen.org/dinner2022. So that's helpaidforwomen.org/dinner2022. You can make a reservation online, or just if you just, you know, you don't want to come downtown for the dinner, you can just make a contribution. And that will be gratefully accepted. And there's going to be a terrific Master of Ceremonies this year, too.
Yes,
it's going to be funny and charming and really make it worth your time to come.
Tell us her name, Mary.
It happens to be me, Loretta. Can you believe that?
Yay! What a great
choice. I'm so excited. Yeah, this is the first time I've ever, I, of course, was on the board of directors for 20 years. And this is the first time I've ever been the Master of Ceremonies for the dinner. So it's a great honor.
Yes, it is.
I'm just, you know, with all the, you know, things that we all get invited to, this is the one event that is, I would tell you, if you had to pick one, this would really be the one I would pick. Because first of all, you're just surrounded with wonderful people. It's for such a good cause.
Yes.
And, I mean, and they are so, so judicious with the way they use their money. This is an organization that is, you know, managed by a woman who has a CPA, so every dollar is
accounted
spent,
accounted
for and spent in the best possible way. So I would really encourage anyone to go. It's just going to be a terrific thing. So
I do hope people will come. Mary, for those of us that are technologically challenged, then call 312-621-1100. 312-621-1100, and be sure to get on that list.
Okay.
Now, you're very busy this week, aren't you, Mary?
I am.
You are also being honored on Friday. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a very, you know, humbling award. I'm being given the Henry Hyde Award by American Catholic Press, which is located in South Holland. And they're, so, you know, they are a publisher of hymnals and missals and other materials for liturgy, mostly for celebration of the liturgy, but also for education. And they've been around since 1929. They have this leaflet missal prayer book. And it's the original missalette, believe it or not. They were the ones who came up with it. And they also have a hymnal called the American Catholic Hymn Book. And a lot of what they do is to get these missalettes and hymnals into the hands of people who are homebound, particularly the elderly, so that they can follow along with the prayer of the church, and they can participate with Mass if they're watching it online. You know how when you go to Mass, you have your missalette or you have your bulletin or what have you. And imagine when you're watching Mass online, you don't have that. So if you perhaps have hearing loss or other cognitive disabilities that make it difficult for you to catch everything when you're watching it online, they make it possible for someone to have their very own missalette. So it's a wonderful organization, and they give an award once a year to a pro-life person, and it's called the Henry Hyde Award, which is named for the late Henry Hyde, who was the great congressman from the Illinois 5th District, and most well-known for the Hyde Amendment. It was Henry Hyde who came up with the Hyde Amendment, and which has saved hundreds of thousands of lives over the decades it has been in effect. It prohibits federal funding for abortion, except in cases of life of the mother or rape or incest. And so it has... Go ahead. Sorry.
Where would somebody go to... find out more about that dinner so they could come and see you get that award?
So it's you can just go to AmericanCatholicPress.org, or you can, in fact, I would just recommend you go there to the website and then call the number on the screen, which is 708-331-5485. And it is going to be Friday night, as you mentioned, and there's going to be, you know, a lovely cocktail hour, and then The dinner will be at the country club there in, oh gosh, I'm Loretta, where
Olympia,
is it? Oh my gosh,
Olympia Fields
Country Club.
Olympia
Thank you,
Fields.
The Olympia Fields Country Club, and so it's really going to be just a terrific event, and you know, again, you'll be with wonderful like-minded people. And they also give something called the Gratiam Dei Award, and so that will be. You'll have to come and see if you want to see who's going to receive that. But then I'll receive the Henry Hyde Award, and there's a reception, and then there's going to be entertainment. It's really a lovely evening. So,
congratulations, Mary. We are so proud of you. All that you do for pro-life, and as wise as you are, it is well deserved. And when we come back from our last break, we're going to share some disturbing pro-life news. It's not easy being a pro-life advocate.
It is not.
This is Loretta Fralick and Mary Fiorito filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change.
The life of a Christian on earth is a struggle, a fight. We are threatened by various dangers. Saint Michael is the breath of the Holy Spirit who will defeat the Antichrist and all evil spirits. Tell everyone that I grant all graces, that I have great power as the one who stands before God. Here, one comes to seek answers to the question of the meaning of our life. It is worth knowing that on this path, we have a discreet companion. In movie theaters, September 29th only.
Visit fathomevents.com for showing locations and tickets.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 1st at 9 a.m. at the Outdoor Cross at St. Stanislaus Kostka for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. Let us thank God for the companionship our animals bring to our lives. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 1st at 9 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka. And the goldfish are welcome too.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Loretta Fralick and Mary Fiorito, and now we are going to hot pro-life topics. And this is going to be like the speed round, Mary, because we got a lot of things we got to talk about.
Yeah.
The thing that has me just out of my mind, especially as a former criminal prosecutor, a man, a pro-life activist and father of 7, Mark Houck, and I hope I'm saying his name right, he has been arrested. And because last year his son and Mark were praying in front of a Planned Parenthood center when one of the escorts began to harass his then 12-year-old son. Mark took his son away. The escort followed them, continued yelling at Mark's son. Mark pushed him away. And apparently the federal government and the state's attorney in that location refused charges. But last week, the Justice Department sent a fully armed SWAT team into the home of young children at daybreak to arrest the father.
Wow.
Have you ever?
It was shocking. And at first, when I saw something about it on Twitter, and I thought, oh, this can't be
right.
This can't be true, right? And
right.
So, but as I looked into it, and as it turns out, I have mutual friends with this man and his family, and I think he has seven quite young children, seven
yes.
children under 15, something like that. And my understanding is that the charges that this, you know, the death escort, as we call them, this clinic, abortion clinic escort,
yes.
And these are people who take, you know, women into the abortion clinics so that no one can offer them assistance or help.
Right.
or even hand them a pamphlet about options that they might not be aware of, you know, like again, like the maternity homes at Aid for Women that I just mentioned. So at any rate, there's a federal law called the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, the FACE right. Act, and which interestingly also applies to people who try to interfere with church worship. So if you're trying to interfere with someone's right to worship, the FACE Act can be used against you. But be that as it may, there were both state charges and federal charges, and both were dropped because the death squad, this man who made these accusations against Mr. Houck, never showed up for his court court hearing.
And then Houck gets a target letter from the U.S. Attorney's Office informing him he's the focus of a federal criminal probe into the incident. His lawyers tried to call, was never able to get a response from them, and then at daybreak, the SWAT team. Now, you know what? I can remember as a prosecutor seeing some of those SWAT teams doing drills in the hallways of courtrooms. They show up in their full riot gear, which is pictured in one of these. They're pretty scary.
Yeah. Oh, no, it really is. They had agents surrounding his home. They burst in the middle of the night.
25 people with 15 vehicles.
There was no pending charges. There's no outstanding warrant. The wife said you just can't break into a house and take a citizen away without a warrant. So they finally went out and got the warrant. They didn't even present the warrant to him. And then their tone seemed to have changed once they read the warrant and realized this is not a violent man. He hasn't been, there's been nothing that he hasn't shown up for in court, you know, against these kind of flim-flam charges.
Right.
And but this was after they took him away. The children are traumatized. Can you imagine?
And he leads a pro-life organization. He's the founder of a men's ministry called the King's Men.
Oh, right. Talk about that a little bit, Loretta, because that's important.
Well, I think it's important that these men are outside regularly praying the rosary outside the clinic. He was defending his son from an escort's verbal assault by moving his son away, and this escort followed them. But what I find the most ridiculous, apparently when he pushed this escort away from his son, I think the injury was treated with a Band-Aid.
Yeah, yeah. And this was, and again, it was in response to an act of aggression by the death squad, you know, and it was not unprovoked act,
right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but again, I think it's very, very telling that this man never even showed up for any of his hearings.
You know, and that's why I got dismissed, Mary. And the other thing it reminds me of is that quote by that German pastor, Martin Nailmoller.
Yeah.
First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me. And there was no one left to speak for me. So even if you are not a pro-life advocate, know that the weaponization of our FBI and our Department of Justice, know that once they're done getting all the pro-lifers in order, they're coming for you, and it's not a mistake.
No, this is, and you know, when you just think that this could happen in the United States of America, where citizens have rights, and they have specific rights that protect them while they are inside their home.
And
you just can't come into somebody's house and you know, terrify their children and arrest them. I mean, these are like Gestapo tactics.
Yes, they are.
And, you know, against a peaceful man who has done nothing violent, who cooperated with law enforcement at every turn. I sure hope that there's going to be some massive, massive lawsuit. And this was meant to intimidate pro-life people, to let them know that the entire weight of the federal government is going to be focused on people who are pro-life and pro-marriage and pro-family, and almost like a taunt, like, you just
right.
I don't think I'm overreacting to this. What do you think?
Mary, no, and because look at the alternative. An 84-year-old pro-life volunteer in Michigan was going door-to-door in her community to talk about a ballot measure concerning abortion in Michigan. And on September 20th, she was leaving a home, and she was shot in the back shoulder area.
Oh,
after
my goodness.
But the man who shot her has not been identified.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
The police are investigating. Well, I mean, come on. The woman is obviously doing well, but all you got to do is ask her, who shot you? You know,
right.
She knows what home she left, and she
right.
knows with whom she had a verbal altercation. And the fact
right.
that the Michigan State Police are investigating and will send the results to the Ione County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, it's not even equal. And yet
a man is
arrested in his home with an injury that was treated with a Band-Aid, and this woman
right.
drove herself to a police station, and they transported her to a hospital to treat her for a gunshot wound, and they have nobody in custody?
Yep. I mean, this is just, it's just appalling.
It
and
is.
You wonder, you know, I do think it reminds me a little bit about, you know, this raid on the home of President Trump, which is absurd. And it seems as if our government is really sending, you know, this very clear message
right.
that if you are pro-life, again, if you are pro-family, if you, you know, in any way don't agree with the current agenda of the Democrats, law enforcement can show up at your house in the middle of the night and with impunity, and you will be prosecuted. And of course, you know, they know that these people have to hire defense attorneys.
Right.
And that can easily eat away a family's savings.
Bankrupt you. And you know,
bankrupt you, yep.
The one thing that I found, so remember Roger Stone a while ago, he had the same experience where SWAT team showed up to arrest him. And apparently he lived in a very beautiful community in Florida with a canal or a waterway.
Okay.
Do you know that they had frogmen in the canal behind his home?
Oh, for goodness sake.
It's laughable until you realize that this is your government coming after you, a citizen. And,
right.
And it needs to stop. It needs to
stop. And it's not because you've done anything wrong. It's viewpoint-based discrimination.
It is. They are weaponizing our own government against its citizens.
Oh, well, Loretta, now, as a former criminal prosecutor, if this did happen to any so say you open your door and it's something, what is the proper...
Well, they're supposed to have a warrant if they want to take you
right.
into custody.
So the first thing you need to do is say, I need to see a warrant, please.
I would ask to talk to my lawyer. I mean, you look at what happened to poor Mike Lindell, and they show up at Hardee's and take his phone that his hearing aids are... You know,
attached to.
He's hired Dershowitz, but you know, those are conversations again for another day. Because Mary, you're not going to believe me, but we have another atrocity in pro-life.
Oh no, tell me.
Gavin Newsom, his $24 million campaign chest has paid for some billboards. Need an abortion? California is ready to help. And then the ads cite Jesus Christ, love your neighbor as yourself.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, really, that is the height of cheekiness.
Oh, it's blasphemy. It's not just cheeky, it's blasphemy.
It is. It's blasphemy. And what's so frightening is it's happening. You know that music, Mary? It means we're
yes,
done.
It means
we'll see you next
week. Things have flown by again.
I need you guys to pray for Cardinal Joseph Zen in Hong Kong. He's gone on trial now with the government. And we want to decree and declare that he shall be found not guilty in Jesus' name. Thanks.
Amen.
Amen. And don't forget, Aid for Women Dinner, St. Michael the Movie, American Catholic and the Holy Spirit Recollection, Saturday, October 1st. See you guys next Monday.
Do we search deep but true? So sit on the fence. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.